that Ethan did in leading that hymn, the good job you did in singing. Again, I'm thankful to be here this morning, to be able in our Bible class to open up the Bible and study just while we can during the time that we have together. I hope that the lesson will be profitable and beneficial to each one of us. Before I forget, if you did not get a copy of the PowerPoint slides from last week, which we'll finish up this morning in the worship service, they're in the back. I know several had asked for copies of those, and so those are back there. And right below those are copies of the chart that did not print in the PowerPoint. It's a chart, if you recall, that shows a contrast between the Old Testament law of Moses and the New Testament law of Christ. So those are in the back, and you feel free to pick those up. If we run out again and you don't get one and you want one, just let me know, and I'll be more than happy to make copies of that for you. And our study this quarter, I've only got 13 weeks with you, and so we'll be moving full speed ahead, and I'll try to do my very best to stay on track and try to present the material in a way that will be beneficial to you and help each one of us. But we're going to study for the next 13 weeks, as indicated on the screen before you, a study of the book of James. James is a beautiful book. It's a small epistle with only 5 chapters. He said, well, why the book of James? Certainly, there's a lot of other books you could have studied. Why not the book of Ezekiel? Why not the book of Daniel, or the book of Revelation, or the book of Matthew, or the book of John? Well, we've got a twofold purpose for this series, this quarter. And so, it'll be, a beneficial study for each one of us. You're probably familiar with a lot of lessons that we could take from the book of James, but I want us to think about, and if the PowerPoint doesn't cooperate, then you're just going to have to give me your ears. Sometimes it takes it a little while. This morning, we're only going to talk about an introduction and give you an outline and some other things that we'll talk about along that. But we're not even going to get into the text of the book of James this morning. And there's a reason for that, a deliberate reason why we're not going to start with James chapter 1, verse 1, and jump into the chapter. And you'll see that in just a moment. I've got a purpose, again, for why the book of James, a twofold aim of this study. Obviously, we're going to talk about the need to understand the contents of the epistle. With only 5 chapters, you're going to get a good handle, a good grasp on what the book of James is all about. But also, I picked the book of James not only because it's something that is important for us to understand, and it's easy for us to make application, or at least see the need for the application, but it would vary as far as making the application, because some may find it difficult, some may not. But also, I picked this book so that we can learn, not only learn the contents of the book, but I really want to help you, if you don't already know, how to approach a study of any book of the Bible. I think one of the problems many times that we don't know the Bible like we should is because we don't know how to study the Bible. We think maybe sometimes we're just going to open up wherever it falls. That's going to be my study, and that's where I'm going to study. Well, that's okay if you want to study from whatever book of the Bible that you want to, wherever it might fall open. But many times we don't study books of the Bible as a whole, as a unit, and we don't study the chapters from the standpoint of what's the overall context of the book, and how does it really fit in the overall theme of the Bible, which is the salvation of man through Jesus Christ under the glory of God, which is the whole theme of the Bible. And so many times we really fail to know how to approach a study of the book of the Bible. And a lot could be said about that. And obviously, when we pick a book to study, we need to know what type of book that it is. Is it a historical book, a book that is written in chronological order, a book that's narrative? Is it poetry or wisdom literature? Is it a book of history? And so we've got to understand all those things when we talk about studying any book of the Bible. But I picked the book of James specifically for these two reasons. I want you to understand and know the contents of the book of James. And then I also want you to know how to approach a study of any book of the Bible. And so I hope that it'll be beneficial to you. I think that the batteries in this are just decided to quit, but we can use the keyboard. Here's some recommendations that I've got for you, and I really want you to take these serious. It doesn't matter if we're studying the book of Romans, which Ray's been doing on Wednesday, and I've enjoyed that. I know you have too. It doesn't matter if you're studying about the work of an individual in comparison to the congregation, as CL just wrapped up that study. It doesn't matter. It did a good job. It doesn't matter if you're studying about the general epistle of James. You're only going to get out of the class what you put in it. That's true of any book of the Bible or any study that you endeavor to take. So here's some recommendations that I want you to take seriously. Now, you can come to the class and just show up and haphazardly listen and not take away much from the class. But I really want you to put yourself in it and put effort into it and try the best you can to learn the book of James and to know what James is talking about. Because what he says to me, he says to you. And we need to make application of it. So we can't make application if we don't know it. I want you to complete the reading assignment. And you'll see that at the end of the lesson. And I give that a reading assignment. I want you to be sure to complete that before next week. That is very, very important for you to do. I want you to take your own notes. If you want copies of what I'm going to present on the screen, I'm happy to give those to you. And so you can have those, but I want you to take notes. Write notes in the margin of your Bible. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But take your own notes. Commit to memory the assigned verses. We're going to have a verse that really sums up, I believe, the entire theme of the book of James. And then at least one verse from every chapter. You say, well, I can't memorize. Yes, you can too. You know how to get home. Many times your mind is not even on your travel to from home. So you can memorize, same as I can memorize. We just got to use our minds. I can do it better than me, but we can memorize the verses. I want you to define key words as a sign when we get into the text. That's very important. I want you to develop a working outline, and I'll show you how to do that. I'll give you two this morning. But I want you to learn how to do an outline of your own on a book of the Bible. To me, it's one of the most helpful things to sit down with a book of the Bible and develop my own outline to that book. You can read other people's outlines, but you're not going to absorb the text the same as you will if you outline that book for yourself. And so learn to do that. Make a working outline of the epistle. Learn one lesson from each of the five chapters. That's not a lot to ask, is it? One lesson from each of the five chapters. And there's a lot of things covered in chapters 1, 2, chapter 3 is almost an entire chapter on one subject. Chapters 4 and 5, there's all kinds of things that you can learn. And then I want you to come to class prepared. I want you to be here having completed the assigned work. You'll be the better Bible student if you do those things, I assure you. Sometimes, I don't know if you make marks in your Bible, I do mine. And again, this morning we're just doing an introduction to the book and we're getting ready to get into that, but I write in my Bible. Do you? Now, some people don't write in their Bible, and that's okay if you don't, but I do. And I make notes in my Bible with the intent that I want to have my Bible and open it up and be able to teach somebody without having to run and get something. And so you may say, well, preacher, I'd like to take a lot of notes in my Bible, but my Bible don't allow me to do that. I don't have margins in my Bible. You can get a wide margin Bible and fill it up all you like, but I want to suggest this to you, and these will be in the back. I'll put them beside Sunday's outlines. This is a copy of just the Epistle of James. It's a New King James Version of it, wide margin. So you can pick that up, get your little folder, write James on it, or however you want to label that. And then you can take all the notes as we go through the class. You do your reading, take the notes, and put those in, file it away, and you'll have some good lessons on the book of James. So these will be in the back. If you don't want to write in your Bible, or if you don't have margins to do that, then you'll have that and be able to do it. As you think about the epistle of James, in James chapter 1, we're not going to discuss into the text, but just to read the statement before us, James, the servant of God, and to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Well, the writer obviously identifies himself as James, chapter 1 and in verse 1. Well, what James was it? Because in the New Testament, we read that there were at least three individuals who are referred to as James. And that's not to say that these were the only Jameses in the first century, but these are three other men in the New Testament who are referred to as James. James, the son of Zebedee, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. James, the son of Alphaeus, Matthew chapter 10, verse 3. And James, the half-brother of the Lord, Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. And so there are at least three other men in the New Testament, or three men rather, that are referred to as James. We know that James, the brother of John, John and James being the boys of Zebedee, was killed by Herod as recorded in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Well, that doesn't mean that James, this particular James, could not have written the book of James, because a lot, as we'll see a chart in just a moment, a lot of people place the book of James perhaps to be the earliest written book in the New Testament. And so it could have been written by James, who was killed by Herod in Acts chapter 12. That would make it pretty early, because the church was established in about 33 A.D. in Acts chapter 2. And we get that because Jesus was 30 years old when he was baptized with John, and he observed three Passovers, which were yearly feasts of the Jews. That would have been 33, and then he was killed. 50 days later, the day of Pentecost, the church was established in Acts chapter 10, or 2 rather. And about 10 years later, the Gentiles were converted in Acts chapter 10 and 11, and then James, the brother of John, was killed as recorded in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And so it could have been a very early book, as far as it goes from the standpoint, if it were this James. Simply stated, one cannot know for certainty which James it was who penned the book. Now, if you've got something in the Bible that pinpoints it down to a particular James, the brother of the Lord, half-brother, Joseph was not his father, but half-brother of the Lord, or the brother of John, then you feel free to share that. And some place the date of the book around 44 to 48 A.D., making it perhaps the earliest written book in the New Testament. I'll tell you this, as I've told you about authorship and so forth before, when a book does not make it clear, we know James wrote it, but when a book does not make it clear who wrote the book or which person it was, which James it was that wrote the book, it doesn't take away from the meaning or the purpose of the book. And so don't let that curb your attention from the book. And here's just the New Testament books in chronological order. Of course, the four accounts of the Gospel, the book of Acts, and then Paul's letters, general epistles of James, just a general letter. Of course, Paul's letters written during his missionary journeys in Rome, and two columns for that. Then ending up with John's writing of the book of Revelation. And again, if you want the slides, you feel free to task for them. I want to suggest this outline to you. There's a lot of sources that you can go to get an outline of any book of the Bible, and they're useful. You got to watch them to make sure that they're correct, that to keep it in context. But here's a suggested one that I put together for you, then I'll give you another one in just a moment, just so you can kind of see that there's different ways to divide it. You got a greeting in chapter 1, verse 1, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. And then he jumps right into the text. He jumps right into the message, the writing that he's doing. That's, and then Enduring Temptations, chapter 1, verse 2 to 1 and in verse 20. The bulk of the first chapter is dealing with trials. Various trials and things that come upon us and being tempted as a Christian. Obviously, he's writing to Christian people, and we'll see that. That's a key word that comes up in the book of James, is the word brethren. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, he talks about in chapter 1. And living the soul-saving word. This is a practical book, rubber meets the road, writing. Living what the Bible teaches. Living the gospel of Christ, chapter 1, verse 21 through 127, talks about being doers of the word, received with meekness and grafted word, which is able to save your souls. Indeed, the word does save. And then to live that word, put it into your everyday life. Discussion of partiality, chapter 2, verses 1, or chapter 2, verse 1 through 2, and then verse 13. relationship between faith and works that you're very familiar with, James 2 verse 14 through 2 verse 26, strict judgment of teachers, chapter 3 verse 1, the destructive force of the tongue, chapter 3 verse 2 through chapter 3 verse 18. You might say, preacher, there's a lot of other statements that he makes concerning other things, even in the midst of these. Yeah, you could subdivide these into several different parts. The church and worldliness, chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, verse 12, including God in tomorrow's plans, including the keeper or holder of tomorrow and tomorrow's plans, chapter 4, verse 13 through 4, verse 17, condemnation of rich men. It's not a general saying. He's being specific about brethren who were rich and yet they were doing wrong. Some say, well, he's not talking about brethren in this text. He's just writing about rich men in general. You got to keep the context of the book in mind. But nonetheless, admonitions to steadfastness, chapter 5, verse 7 through 5:18. Restoring the erring, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Another outline that I'll suggest to you, and this one is about faith. Faith in trials of life. Faith in riches of the world. Faith in sin. Faith in obedience. Faith in partiality. Faith in works. Faith in the tongue. Faith in wisdom. Faith in submission. Faith in judging a brother. Faith in the future. Faith in the greedy. Faith in patience. Faith in prayer. Faith in the erring. Another way to divide the book of James. I didn't come up with that one, but I like that. James is very, as I said, practical, in the trench epistle. It's about things that are by and large, for the most part, easily understood. Now, there's some things in chapter 5 that might be pretty difficult and some other things along the way, but for the most part, it's easy to understand what James is saying, to learn those lessons, and then we need to understand the making the application, living the Christian life. A fellow put together a New Testament survey, offered 12 reasons for the Epistle of James. Makes a good list of why the book of James. What is the purpose of James' epistle to Christians, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad? And we'll study that when we get into the text. Well, here's 12 reasons. An admonition to take the proper attitude toward trials and tribulations, to encourage them to properly receive the Word of God. Forbid them to show partiality to others. Demonstrate that faith without works will not save them. To warn against the sins of the tongue. To set forth the nature of true and false wisdom. Rebuke them for quarrelsomeness, worldliness, and pride. Instruct them to be considerate toward their brethren. Scold them for their attitude and conduct in their business life. Encourage them to be patient. Endurance of the ills of life. Patient endurance to the ills of life. Tell them what to do in times of affliction, and then show the importance of restoring an erring brother. So 12 reasons why the study of the Epistle of James is needed and important for us. There's a lot of similarities between what you find in the book of James and what you find in the Lord's teaching. Now, James is writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We understand that. But notice the similarities. In James chapter 1, verse 4, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking or wanting nothing. Matthew 5:48, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But it'll be interesting when we get to that verse, because the context sets forth what he's talking about. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. James 1 verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Mark 11:23, Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, shall have whatsoever he saith. James 1:22, be ye doers of the work and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Matthew 7, verses 21 and 24, the importance of doing what the Lord says to do. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth The will of my Father which is in heaven, verse 24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And then the Lord taught in Matthew 7:24-26, we won't read all of it. We just alluded to verse 24 a moment ago, 27 rather, the importance of doing what the Lord says to do, to hear and to do, and not just to hear and to disobey. James 2:5, hearken my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Luke 6:20, and he lift up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. For the most part, poor people don't have materialistic possessions overflowing that will obscure them from seeing the one who died for them and see their need for obeying God and living for Him. A lot of folks today say, I don't see the need in becoming a Christian. I don't see the need in religion. I have a good job, have a nice home, I have a nice car, and the list goes on and on and on. And so they've allowed stuff to blind them, to deceive them. We know that riches do, Matthew 13. And so they've been deceived to think that they don't need God. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. He lift up His eyes on His disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Matthew 23, then verse 2. And James 4, verses 11 and 12, speak not evil one of another. I just recently did a lesson on not speaking evil. I alluded to that in the lesson, talked about that, about the tongue. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? In Matthew 7:1, judge not that ye be not judged. We had a good discussion on that Wednesday night about the context of that and so forth. James 5:1, go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. But woe unto you that are rich, the Lord taught me, Luke 6:24-25, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. James 5:12, but above all things, brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Sound familiar to you? The Lord taught a similar thing, Matthew 5:34-37, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair water black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So a lot of similarities between what the Lord taught and what James taught in this short 5-chapter epistle. If there is one verse that I think wraps up what the book of James is really all about, you might come up with a different one. That's okay. You can have more than one key verse. No one says you have to have one. It would be James chapter 1 and then verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. If there was a verse that summed up the totality of the book of James, it would be this verse. The fact that James is writing to these Christians and telling them to remain faithful unto God, in essence, live the soul-saving gospel, the only system by which we can be saved and go to heaven when life is over. In fact, the system that we're going to be judged by, Romans chapter 2 and in verse 16. Yes, there's a lot of other important verses in the book, keeping ourselves pure from the world, James 1 verse 27, not blaming God when we fall into temptation. Let no man say when he's tempted of God that he's, or tempted that he's tempted of God. A passage in verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. and on, chapter 2, when he talks about, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead, being alone. And so there's a lot of other verses and a lot of other lessons that we can learn. But ladies and gentlemen, this one sums up the book. This is a book about living right before God, making practical application of the things that we study in this book to our everyday life. And again, we'll look at all those verses that I just mentioned to you as we go through the text in chapter 3 when we talk about not let many of you be many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation or judgment. And he talks about the sins of the tongue. And the list just goes on. And so 5 chapters, 13 weeks with you. And so what do you need to do for tomorrow, the couple of minutes that we have left, or for next week? Are you ready? If you're taking notes, you need to write this down. There's a lot of homework. You need to come prepared. See if you can get it all. Read the book 3 times before next week. That's all. Read the book. When you approach a study of the book of the Bible, do nothing else. I'm suggesting to you, do what you will. Do nothing else with that book but read it. Don't do a thing else with the book that you're going to study until you've read it first. Don't worry about words. Don't worry about finding phrases and connecting thoughts. Don't worry about an outline. Don't worry about any of that. Read the book. I want you to read it 3 times. 5 chapters. You can easily get that done in about 30 minutes time. Tops. And that's if you read slow. You can read through or average probably. But you'll get through it. I mean, you've got a week to do that. But I really want you to come to class next week and be prepared. If you have, go ahead, Larry.
It helps too when, even though it's divided into chapters and verses, to look at it as a letter without any of those chapters and verses and to read it through in its entirety or totality and disregard the chapters and verses and the subheadings that's in there. Just read it as a letter that you received that someone wrote to you.
Good. Excellent. Excellent thought. So keep that in mind too. And when you do your outline of the book of James, whatever the other book, you may not have a clean break at the end of a chapter. Sometimes the thought goes on into the next one. Sometimes you may clean it up from that standpoint because you're trying to be concise with it, trying to commit it to memory. But definitely read the letter and don't worry about the chapter because sometimes the chapters break, don't break the thought. And so, excellent advice and thought. Any others? Appreciate you bringing that up. That's good to keep in mind. Any other thoughts as you approach the book of James? I look forward to our study together. Look forward to my growth in it, putting it together and standing before you. And look forward to hearing thoughts from you as we go through the book. I want to ask you just to read the book 3 times and be prepared for our next study. Again, I appreciate your good attention.